we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I mean, this show is, golly, bum. We are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, blanketing the northern part of our state, and with parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, the text lines are open. Some of y'all are already on it. Text lines. If you want to text in the show, it's the same number you would call in. It's 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So, yeah, if it's the first time you've ever texted, like some, we had some, several new ones today, I believe. I think Mimi's new on there today. We've got several folks already texted in. I haven't read them yet, but I see Jeremy from Huntsville, Susan from Elkmont, Daryl from Huntsville, Brian from Huntsville, Ron from Huntsville. Anyway, you want to text in, the first time you do it, just text the word right side to 833-687-4448, and then, like, tell us what your first name is, where you're from. We'll get you plugged in, and bam, you'll get a first message back that says something like, hey, right side ruffian, you know, that kind of thing. Glad you're here. But yeah, we'd love to have you. 833-687-4448. By the way, the podcast is still going bananas. Boomer, where are we at on that? If you're a podcaster, if you hear part of the show, like if you want to by the way, Boomer, we got some text coming through right now. We got a tech difficulty or something. We got people texting us saying they can't hear or something. Check that text string real quick before you even check the podcast. Jeremy's saying something about we were off. Hang on, folks. We're getting there. And then Leanne saying something, too. You see it? Yeah, I'll let you study that while I start the dippers, and then we'll talk about podcasts later. Well, I will tell you this, though. Podcasts, if you are a podcaster or if you hear part of the show that you want to check on, then we would love to have you. Just go to our website, www.rightsideradio.org, or use your favorite sourcing like a Podbean or a Google or iTunes or whatever else. Just go look for Right Side Radio as a podcast and subscribe to it, and then it starts coming to you, and you get the show in segments every day. So all said and done, we have a ton of people that are downloading now the show, and you can also grab a piece, like say if you hear an interview or if you want to send that story that I just did a minute ago in my monologue about Sweetie and the Sergeant Major to somebody, you just grab it and email it out, and there it goes. Was there an issue, Boomer? What's the deal?
I hear it all online.
Okay. I don't know what's going on. All I know is Leanne says, what's going on? And they said, music's good. And then Jeremy says, website's only playing ads when you tap listen live. I don't understand what's happening there.
But I'll keep checking on it. But I just listened to it. It sounded good to me. But okay. I'll keep checking.
All right. Good enough.
Lots of new people, though. Wow.
Yeah, lots of them. I see. We got, does it look like Dakota is new on the text line today? I just said it, and they start texting in. Rita from Scottsboro heard the monologue, says, you go, sweetie. So she, it's good. We got another one, Rand from Ardmore, just texted in and said, for the first time, and said, people are ready for a change but did not have anything for the Republicans to vote for, only an expectation to vote against the Dems. That's a good point. Great point. Yeah, what you got, bud?
94,700.
We hit what?
94,700. I'm going to lose this bet.
You are going to lose this bet. That means we had like well over 500 downloads since this morning.
Yeah, 502 today. I mean, a good bit. I mean, it's crazy. Thanks, guys, for listening. This is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. In case y'all don't know, we've got a running bet right now. It involves donuts and push-ups. So the winner gets a donut. The loser does some push-ups. And I'm saying we're going to hit 100,000 downloads by the end of this month. So I got 2 weeks. I am cruising towards that win, brother.
You're cruising towards it.
And Boomer said, nah, it'll be December 10th.
The 10th.
I'm like, man, okay, Boomer, we're going to be like 105,000 before by your date. That's awesome. So you're gonna buy.
I'll be happy to lose.
You're gonna buy me a donut, just so you know. Apple fritters are my favorite.
Got it.
Just so you know,
apple fritters
are my favorite.
And I'll work it off for you.
And that's right. You're gonna burn the calories, and I'm gonna eat the calories. It's gonna be awesome. Okay. All right. Let's jump into the show here. You ready? Triple dipper number one. Flashpoints. So here's the thing. Check those text strings again, Bob. We got some more comments coming through. Flashpoints are legit. You know, World War I started almost by accident. And I say that when the Archduke Ferdinand, I believe it was assassinated, Is that who it was? Am I saying that correctly? I think it was. But when that assassination took place, it was a flashpoint. It got all over people. And it literally created something that swirled the nations into war. World War II. The United States was, you know, for all its warts and blemishes about why it would not help greatly in Europe, it took the flashpoint of Japan. But we were already seeing things coming, so we were beginning a buildup at the time. Things happen, those flashpoints become a much broader conflict. One of the biggest news stories we got today is this. We understand that there have been a number of Russian missile strikes on various parts of Ukraine, including the capital of Kyiv. All right, so Russian missile strikes everywhere, but then here's the kicker. Apparently, at least one, maybe two Russian missiles crossed the border into Poland. One report that I saw said they blew up a grain silo. Two people have been killed. Keep in mind, this is a missile strike inside of a NATO nation. So Poland being struck, we also have U.S. forces in Poland. I don't know what those grain silos were. Were we looking at something like that was a staging area for grain supplies to be sent into Ukraine? I don't know. Was Russia trying to destroy a resupply operation? Or was this really an errant missile strike? Like someone miscalculated or misentered their targeting data. I don't know. But all this to say, it ain't good. Article 5 of the NATO Convention is the one that says an attack on one is an attack on all. So there have been emergency meetings called right now in Poland at NATO, and I am sure the Joint Chiefs are examining things very closely. President Biden is currently at the G20 Economic Conference in Indonesia. I feel certain that he's being updated, at least, you know, whatever. But this is a big deal. Looking at it up on the screen right now, they're talking about it on CNN. They just had up there that NATO is indeed having a security meeting about it. And we've got a lot to watch here. What we do not want to see happen is this flashpoint, Ukraine, become something that sucks NATO nations in. By the way, we are a NATO nation. So, I mean, I say that knowing you know that, but nonetheless, keep your eyes on it. Next thing I got, though, and by the way, flashpoints, I got a bunch of them. I got a story here about Biden dealing with Chairman Xi over in China. I've got the U.S. Navy discovering missile fuel that was being shipped to Yemen. I've got stories about Ukraine. I've got stuff about North Korea's missile barrages. And I got things, I got a lot here about what's going on with Turkey and the Kurds and our role in Syria and how it swirls together and affects NATO. So let's talk about this. FoxNews.com, dated today. Headline, Biden's weakness on full display in Xi meeting. President no match for China's tyrant. Now, this is an opinion piece, so take that for what it's worth. This is not a news story, it's an opinion piece. It says Monday's meeting between President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping took place in the shadow of the G20 Economic Conference in Indonesia. It revealed troubling aspects of the coming New World Chinese Order and just how wrong-headed and weak Biden is when it comes to understanding the communist Chinese threat. The first problem, this writer says, was the optics. Biden was seen kind of hustling out there to meet Xi, extending his hand while he looked kind of anxious and eager to please as he walked out there. Meanwhile, Xi stood there, hands at his side, very dour, almost dismissive in his appearance. I mean, the guy who's writing this article says, and I saw the video, by the way, it did appear that way. It's not just his opinion. I looked at it and went, oh, man, please stop. So the scene could be likened to that of a young subordinate who just saw his boss and hurried his pace to try and welcome him while the boss looked down his nose at the young upstart. That's what he says. Besides the optics, though, it says what Biden said at the post-meeting press conference on Monday evening demonstrates his priorities and failure to truly understand the Chinese leadership's intentions. Biden claimed his conversations with Xi were open and candid, and his, quote, intentions and priorities were made clear to the dictator. Further, he indicated that he told Xi he would defend American values, human rights, and compete vigorously, and promised the communist leader that America's China policy has not changed regarding Taiwan. However, there's no mention that he ever discussed things like maligned economic behavior on trade agreements, or military aggression in the South China Sea, or the fact that fentanyl precursors are coming over here from China like crazy. All that fentanyl killing Americans, most of the precursors originate in China, get shipped to Mexico, made into fentanyl pills, and then shipped across the border to kill Americans. And you can't tell me Xi doesn't know it. You can't tell me he doesn't have the means of doing something. I tell you what, here's, I had a thought on this. Go with me for a minute. I would love to see a Ron DeSantis style in dealing with Xi in a meeting and say, you know, Premier Xi, I want the fentanyl stopped coming into my country from yours. Oh, well, we have nothing to do with this. We cannot. Well, I tell you what, we believe it is from yours. So what we're going to do is every pound of fentanyl we seize, we're going to ship it back to China. That's what he ought to do. It's just like sending the buses of illegals to, you know, New York City, or the plane load from Florida to Martha's Vineyard. I say all these thousands and thousands of pounds of fentanyl pills, rainbow colored and all, I say we box them up, put them in a shipping container, and ship them over to China and say, here, we're returning this to you. We've tested them. They appear to have all precursors that originated in your country. We don't want them. That's just go for it. Ship them back. Anyway, flashpoint number one is the relationship with a ever-growing and burgeoning Chinese presence on the world stage. And right now we have a leader in President Biden who appears to be eager to please and quick to try and smile and shake a hand. And I don't think Xi responds to that. Tell you what, Boomer, I'm going to stop right there for a break. Let's run to the commercial real quick. Let's figure out, by the way, what's going on with the commercial breaks and see if we can track down why it's just playing music. But nonetheless, folks, we're going to come right back. Flashpoints, number one on the Triple Dipper. I got a whole lot more of that. We got to keep an eye on the horizon, y'all, a weather eye on the horizon, because right now the world is filled with flashpoints, and we need to be keenly aware. We'll be right back. And we're back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. That's the best bump, man. We got some good bump music, but I think that one just jams me more than any of them. I have to let that one play out before I can even talk.
So good.
In fact, a couple of times I found myself getting distracted, like I'm forgetting that I've got to say something because I'm enjoying the music.
And I look back, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, gonna... Phil, stop nodding your head. Stop. Okay, anyway. Hey, by the way, got some great texts before I go forward. I'll just tell you, if you want to text in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I'm loving the fact that, so Dakota from Washington State listens to the show live now. Dakota, thank you so much. So, yeah, Dakota's out there in Washington State. We just checked and said, are you in Washington? And he said, yeah, I'm in Washington, out here for work, found your show, fell in love with it, and there are still some good people from Washington. Yes, there are. We know that for a fact. So out there in the Pacific Northwest, thank you so much. We appreciate it, Dakota. Take care out there. And then, what do we got here? Kevin McCarthy, which Leanne from Huntsville says, Kevin McCarthy wants the feds to pay for police. If Chicago defunds, it's not Alabamians' right to or need to pay. I reject McCarthy. I agree with that. I'm not sure where they get off saying, I haven't seen this yet, but if McCarthy is saying he has a plan for federal funding to upfund police in criminals, you know, crime-ridden cities, then I would suggest that perhaps they need to just go ahead and, instead of paying more money, how about you withhold something from those areas that have decided to defund the police and put the pain on them to go back to funding their police? There you go. There's a neat idea. I had one from JT. Oh, yeah, JT from Lacey Springs. So Boomer and I have the bet about the when the podcast hits 100,000. I say it's going to be by the end of the month. It involves one of us having to get to eat the donuts and the other one get to do push-ups. And so JT from Lacey Springs says, I volunteer to pay for the donut and a tube of pain rub on December 1st.
Oh, man.
Couldn't say it. All right. John from Huntsville giving me grief about my dippers, triple dippers. What kind of sauce you use for the dippers? Ranch, honey mustard, buffalo? I'm not even gonna address that any further. I'm just gonna let that ride.
Did you say Paul? Have you read Paul's yet from Athens? He said Paul, he had a box of apple fritters on the kitchen table for
nice.
You.
Nice, nice. I mean, you would think by the way we talk around here that I weigh 320 pounds. I don't, but I do love me a good apple fritter. All right, let me jump back in. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, Flashpoints, story on military.com. Flashpoints, if you're just joining us, are those places in the world where you have to watch it because the one wrong move could create a really bad situation that could broaden beyond the scope of where you currently sit. So military.com dated today, 70 tons of missile fuel from Iran to Yemen was seized. The U.S. Navy said Tuesday it found 70 tons of a missile fuel component hidden among bags of fertilizer aboard a ship bound to Yemen from Iran. The first such seizure in that country's year-long war as a ceasefire there has broken down. The Navy said the amount of ammonium perchlorate discovered could fuel more than a dozen medium-range ballistic missiles, the same weapons that Yemen's Iranian-backed Houthi rebels have used to target both forces allied to the country's internationally recognized government and the Saudi-led coalition that supports them. Iran has recently threatened Saudi Arabia, the United States, and other nations about the protests going on in Iran, claiming that there are attempts to overthrow the theocracy there. So that's a big deal. There's a flashpoint for you. The Middle East is not is always a flashpoint, but when Iran is exporting terror, it gets even worse. And right now what we're seeing is Iran is trying to blame the rest of the world for its own internal problems, and as a result, we are seeing things like having to seize missile fuel. That's big doings. North Korea, story on U.S. News and World Report, dated November 3rd. So this is about, 12 days old. North Korea keeps up its missile barrage with launches of an ICBM. Let me give you perspective. We hear this, we're like, well, they launched it into the sea. Sometimes they launch it in the Sea of Japan or near South Korean-occupied islands. Or sometimes they've even launched them over Japan into the far side, in the eastern waters off Japan. This would be something like if basically Montgomery was a hostile area to Florida, and they launched missiles over the panhandle of Florida into the Gulf of Mexico. That's what it's like. Now, if you've ever been in a war situation where you've heard artillery or missile fire going over your head, it'll get your attention. And it's a clear indication that you're in a place that, had it fallen short, it could make a big difference in your life, if you know what I'm saying. Well, North Korea fired at least six missiles into the sea around November 3rd, including an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, that triggered evacuation warnings, halted trains in northern Japan, adding to a recent barrage of weapon tests that has escalated tensions in the region. The ICBM test was followed by launches of two short-range ballistic missiles in the morning, drawing swift condemnation by North Korea's neighbors and the United States, which then reacted by ongoing joint Air Force exercises with South Korea. The South Korean and Japanese military said North Korea later fired three more short-range missiles into waters off of its eastern coast. Those launches came an hour after a senior North Korean military officer issued a statement threatening retaliation over the extension of U.S.-South Korean drills. I got more on this. We got stuff. Experts are saying that North Korea is trying to escalate its brinksmanship, trying to gain some sanctions relief. Wow. Flashpoints. I got a few more. We'll wrap it up when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two. The local, the state, the national, even the international, we cover down on all those issues, man. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. In a discussion right now about flashpoints around the world, looking up at the screen, I'm seeing that, we're looking at a major flashpoint right now with the fact that Russian missiles have gone across the border into NATO member Poland territory, and still waiting to find out how that's going to play out. And also a breaking news story, which I'm just seeing for the very first time. I haven't had a chance to dig into it yet, but it appears that Rick Scott, who has been a leader in the Republican caucus in the U.S. Senate, is now saying he's going to run against McConnell for Senate GOP leader. I think that's a great move. McConnell deserves to have some competition. More on that as time goes by. Flashpoints. Hey, we got a caller on line one. Let me grab that real quick. Is that Jeff? Is that Jeff from Indiana? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, buddy. Yeah. Except for Kevin McCarthy just got voted in. So
yeah, I saw that. But at least it looks like, I don't know if you heard me say it, but at least it looks like Rick Scott's going to go ahead and challenge McConnell.
I hope so. The turtle needs to lose. He's a little too slow in his old age.
I agree. What's on your mind today, man?
Hey, you know, you're talking about these flashpoints and everything, yeah. But it's going to get scary, man. I mean, come on, Biden couldn't even withdraw from Afghanistan, where basically we was up against cavemen with rifles.
Yeah.
These people over there, I mean, you was there, you know, these are not Mensa members there, and education's not on their top of the do list, I don't believe.
Taliban Mensa members. I agree. I mean, that's one of the things I'm concerned about is flashpoints are those kind of places where one wrong step can cause things to get much bigger. And the last thing we want to do is light the fuse on a flashpoint, you know?
Yeah, and what I'm also concerned about, he's talking about greening up the Army and everything. Now, say when we do get greened up there and everything, can you imagine these electric tanks, battery-operated tanks, going up against mechanical diesel tanks, and somebody pops an EMP?
It ain't going to happen. There's no way to effectively run an Abrams tank on batteries. Now, I get the fact that there's capabilities that we don't know about that they're working on right now, I'm sure. But can you imagine what it takes to recharge an Abrams tank? I can't. And then how do you get the charging capability? I mean, right now, electrical grid in Ukraine is almost knocked out in about 60% of the country. How are you going to recharge these things?
Well, you'll have to tow along a bunch of windmills
there
and
you
solar
go.
Panels with.
That's right.
With them.
I mean, you would think they would tow along some diesel powered generators. That kind of defeats the point, though, doesn't it?
Oh no! I'm not even sure we can even go to war because that causes pollution, and you know we don't want to have global warming because we went to war. So we may just stay out of things because of that. You know, it's.
Well, the only thing I am concerned, though, that this gives Biden the chance to try and look tough, you know. The whole wag the dog scenario is something we got to watch out for, too.
Yeah, but he's so compromised with everything. China, if they invade Taiwan, what are you going to do?
Well, right now, the storyline that I got off of one Fox News piece, which was an opinion piece, literally indicates, and I saw part of the video, and it does, is that that Biden looked like the eager young kid trying to please the boss when he went up to Xi and had a photo op with him, and Xi just stood there looking dour, like he was kind of looking down his nose, and it's just not a good look, not a good look at all.
Well, he knows where the money comes from, and everybody else does in the FBI too, but they're not releasing that, are they?
Yeah, that's on the backside of the hard drive on Hunter Biden's laptop that we've not been able to get out of anybody's hands in a while. But anyway, yeah. Where are you at right now, Jeff?
It's going to
You driving through Nashville?
Huh?
You driving through Nashville right now?
Yeah. Four lanes of traffic, wall to wall, I-65 coming into downtown area where the city bird is a crane.
Oh.
I've never seen so many cranes in my life.
Oh.
I don't know where these people are getting people to work up here, but I mean, it's like there's so many cranes in the downtown area, they can't swing without hitting each other.
Well, I think I heard Boomer talking to you before you went on the air, and he said because Boomer just moved from Nashville, he wonders if they just build the cranes trying to pretend to make people think they want to move there because of all the activity.
there's a lot of building going on. I don't know. I don't know where they're getting the workers at, but I'm sure the material is pretty high now because they're doing a lot of stick building too. So,
well, apparently,
buildings are wood frame.
Apparently, they stole the building. All the workers from all the fast food joints. They have to keep their drive throughs closed. You know, the dining rooms are still closed.
They also probably a lot of them are immigrants. I'd say illegal or otherwise.
I don't know. It bears looking. All right, brother. Listen, I gotta move on to the topics here. But you be safe on the road. All right.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right,
we'll
see you, Jeff. Hey, back to the dipper here, the triple dipper. So watch what's happening right now with Turkey. Turkey is a policy flashpoint, if you will. Turkey is a foreign policy flashpoint. Turkey is also, by the way, in the center of what we might consider to be a hot war flashpoint. Why do I say all this? Picture where Turkey is. Turkey's on the northern side of Iraq. The Kurdish people have long been our greatest allies in that region. They're the best fighters, and we have assisted them. And truthfully, we've assisted them and abandoned them a couple of times. But the Kurds typically are a demographic of folks that are somehow ethnically persecuted at all times, and yet they always seem to resist and resist well. And right now, Turkey hates the Kurds. Turkey hates the Kurds because the Kurds have a separatist notion. They want to break away from Turkey. And in northern Iraq and in southern Turkey and in northern Iran, you've got an enclave of Kurdish people that would love to have a free Kurdish state. And so at the same time that we are fighting against ISIS and the Kurds have been assisting us, including going through Syria and Turkey and all of that area, you've also got the Turks, who hate the Kurds, who are our allies. Just two days ago, where was that story? Hang on a second. CNN, November 13th, which would be 2 days ago. Suspect in custody in Istanbul after a blast killed 6 and injured 81. A terrorist bombing in a market in Istanbul, Turkey, killed at least 6 people, injured at least 81. Turkey says they consider it to be a terrorist act, the result of a woman, they believe, who was an attacker, that she is somehow related to the Kurdistan Workers' Party, a separatist organization for Kurdish. And at the same time we're dealing with this, here's the kabuki dance. Turkey is a NATO ally. We are trying to get Turkey to help us endorse the inclusion of Sweden and Finland in Turkey. Turkey doesn't want to. They've been dragging their feet. They say, yeah, you know, we're kind of okay with Finland, but they're dragging their feet on Sweden because they don't think Sweden has done enough to assist them with their Kurdish issues. So you see what's happening here? We have this. Have to keep all the balls in the air. Have to keep the plate spinning. Turkey is a flashpoint. Turkey is a foreign policy flashpoint. Turkey is a flashpoint in terms of military relations because we have troops right now in Syria collaborating with Kurdish personnel who, by the way, the Kurds are now worried because, here's the next story, back in September, U.S. News and World Report, the Kurds fear everything will change as it appears that Syria and Turkey are reconciling. So let me get this straight. We're helping the Kurds. We're fighting ISIS. We're dealing with Syria. Russia, by the way, is dealing with Syria. Why? Because Syria has a warm water port that Russia wants access to that goes through the Bosphorus, I believe. And then on top of that, Turkey is a NATO ally dragging its feet on the inclusion of more nations in NATO. We're trying to get their support, and we're trying to also maintain our relations with the Kurds. In the meantime, Turkey hates the Kurds. Turkey's bombing the Kurds. Kurds are bombing Turkey. Russia's in the middle. What's Russia doing? Russia's trying to broker peace between its ally, the Assad regime in Syria, and Turkey. Story on U.S. News. A decade into their experiment in self-rule, Syria's Kurds are now fearing there's an apparent rapprochement between Damascus and their foe, the Turkish government, which could cost them their way of life. Syria's conflict broke out. 2 million Kurds were not permitted before that to even learn the Kurdish language in school. But a year after Syria's uprising began in 2011, government forces withdrew, paved the way for the Kurdish to have an autonomous administration. If Syria brokers peace with Turkey, Kurds fear they will lose their way of life. Meanwhile, they decide to go bomb markets in Istanbul. All this to say, story that we still have right now, troops fighting, U.S. troops still fighting in Syria. They've been there since 2015. We were initially there to fight ISIS. You know, that whole vacuum created by the Obama administration's, oh, that's right, the Obama-Biden administration had a reckless pullout of Iraq. Oh, that's funny. He had a reckless pullout in Afghanistan. I guess he never learns. But U.S. troops have been there since 2015, and the primary goal has been the confrontation of the self-proclaimed caliphate of ISIS. But now we have a continuing perpetual presence there, and we have an ongoing spat among people that we're trying to please. It's a flashpoint. You keep your eyes on it, because the minute that something, and by the way, Iran knows this. And so what's Iran doing? Iran recently was launching drone attacks against U.S. forces that are operating in the Syrian battle space. I'm just saying, folks, I named you North Korea, I named you Iran, I named you Ukraine and Poland. I talked about what's happening with China and Xi and the appearance of weakness from our president and the presence of Xi at the G20 summit, their first time to be together. And then on top of that, though, there's the silent war, the one that we don't see as often, that we actually have U.S. troops there right now. And the factions that we are allied with are at odds with each other. And now we're hearing that Russia is helping collaboratively form peace between Turkey and Damascus. And what does that do to the Kurds? They're going to want to watch and see how we handle that. It's a mess. I'm telling you, it's a flashpoint. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that. I am done with flashpoint number one, or dipper number one, flashpoints. We're going to move on. Gun controllers, Second Amendment, things are happening. I got news. All y'all, stand by. Gun controllers, number two on the triple dipper.